You are now listening to Next on Scene with your host, Jackie Zuck, showcasing tomorrow's scene today. For Startups to Celebrities, we are your source to find out what's next. Stay up to date at nextonscene.com or follow us on social media at Next on Scene on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And are you next? We want to hear from you. Stay tuned for who's next on scene. Welcome back to Next on Scene, everybody. It's your host, Jackie Zuck. Today, I'm so excited to showcase who's next. Joshua T. Berglund, the world's mayor. He's host of the amazing radio show called Gratitude Unfiltered. He's also an actor, MC, and an elite matchmaker. So we're so excited to have him on today and showcase how he got to where he is and his current latest ventures he's doing, and of course learn about his amazing show and how you can tune into that. So I'm going to bring on Joshua shortly from LA, so stay tuned for Joshua. All right, everybody, welcome back to Next on Scene. I officially have the world's mayor on the line, Joshua T. Berglund. Hi, Joshua, how are you today?
What's up, Jackie? How are you?
Oh my God, such an honor to have you. What an inspiration you are. I freaking love how we found each other on Facebook. So tell me a little bit about, like, who is the world's mayor? How did this title come about for you?
There's a small backstory. When I was a kid, I've always been very curious. Now, I love the power of curiosity, but growing up, that it got me in a lot of trouble. my little mischievous mind. Even I was always fascinated about people, and you know, every time we would travel, I would run off. I mean, it could be the freaking mall. It could be anything. I would always run off and just talk to strangers and just start asking them questions. And, you know, I just had this curiosity about people, but it really happened when we would travel and we would go to Mexico or, you know, places like that. And my mom would tell people that I was going to be the mayor someday. Now, I didn't know this. Fast forward 30 whatever years. I'm walking the streets of downtown San Diego and Little Italy, where I was living at the time. And I was just doing my daily gratitude. It was around 5:30 in the morning. And I was just saying, I'm grateful for this and grateful for that. And like, and I love downtown San Diego, especially Little Italy. And it was a miracle how I got my place. And, you know, I was just like in full gratitude mode. And I just started listing all of these things that I loved, and I go, I'm going to run for mayor of this place. And
I love it.
And then all of a sudden I Googled it, what it was. So I, one day on my show, just slipped and said, I'm going to be the mayor. I'm going to run for mayor. And I was just kind of kidding around, but then all of a sudden everyone just started addressing me as the mayor. And then I'm like, well, crap, I got to look into this and like really understand what happened. And once I understood like how it really all works, and I have family and politics, but I really just said, you know what, this is way too restricting for me and what I want to do. I had a global vision for what I wanted to create in the world for, you know, since I was 7 years old. I just knew that what I was called to do, and I was like, screw it, I'm the world's mayor. And it just took off and became a thing, but it really is just a way of life. It's a philosophy that everyone gets to win. And I want to be the way I do business deals, the way that I interact with people. I just want to help people. I want people to win. And that's it. Like, I don't want anything from anybody. I just want to help you win, because I've been blessed with two really cool gifts, spiritual gifts, which I love to talk about. And I want to give it away as much as I possibly can, because I really, really believe that we live in a world and we can make a place where everyone gets to win. And for me to be the world's mayor, I want to teach other people to be the world's mayor too. It's not a narcissistic thing. I want everyone to have that mindset.
I love it. Okay, so now we got to chime into your spiritual gifts. So talk about that a little bit.
Well, we're all born into spirit. We're all born with spiritual gifts.
Totally, totally.
And mine is vision, which is also known as prophecy. And the way that visions work for me, and especially like the more I've removed, like I don't drink anymore. You know, the more, like, believe it or not, fruits and vegetables, watching the water that I drink, I've really noticed that I this gift is growing. And of course, the more time I spend with God in prayer and removing things from my body, like, you know, toxic relationships, toxic foods, toxic drinks. I was a huge partier, by the way.
So you got it out of your system.
Yeah, I learned the hard way. The more I realized that, oh my God, the more I remove this stuff, the more I ask for forgiveness, the more amends I make, the more resentments I get rid of, and I just start clearing this stuff out, the more I'm able to tap into these gifts. And it is amazingly fun. And I always ask people this question: if you knew that you had a gift, if you knew that you had a supernatural power inside you, and I'm not talking about flying like Superman, I'm talking about these gifts. It's, you know, for me, again, it's a vision, like having this vision and seeing how things connect. And like even things that don't look like they connect, but finding that way to make it connect, whether it's with people, with businesses, whatever. But if you knew that you had a supernatural gift, wouldn't you want to tap into it?
Totally.
And do anything that was possible to do that. And so that is the lifestyle that I live, is just constantly going, what's good for me? What's not? What do I need to remove? Let's utilize this thing, because I believe our gifts are not for us. They're for other people. And we all started focusing on using our gifts to bless other people. If we started blessing other people with our gifts, we all would be able to contribute to changing the world for the better.
Wow, what an awesome, wow, what a great analogy and outlook on life. I freaking love it. So how did you become so spiritual? Like, when did this even, like, come about? What made you start to get more into it?
I try to turn my life around a lot. You know, my sisters disappeared when I was young. I mean, in my childhood brain, they left because of what was my father was doing, but I didn't know that's what it was. I thought it was actually something I did, why they disappeared. And again, my 7-year-old brain, they disappeared. They actually, their mom shipped them out of the house. But again, I thought it was something I did.
Right. You didn't know any better.
You know, being sexually abused by men and women, being physically abused by my father, you know, never having an outlet, never using my voice, just this internal rage and fire burned inside of me. And, you know, thank God for sports, because I was able to unleash this just effing demon that was inside me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what was wrong with me. I just knew that I was different. I was always socially awkward, never felt like I belonged. It sucked to say the least. When sports ended for me, and I was like, I don't have an outlet for this. And I was losing my mind. I was partying all the time. And then when I got introduced to ecstasy and cocaine, I was like, oh my God. And then all of a sudden,
life changed.
All these nightmares became fantasies. And I started to explore the nightmares that I had had, you know, the nightmares of being molested by men and women, and started to seek out and like reenact these situations that had happened to me, but do it in a way where I could make it a fantasy and something good, and not make it something that was so hurtful to me.
Right.
It caused me to battle my sexuality for years, where I was living in secret, you know, basically living a very bisexual life, and living a double and triple life, to the point that, you know, I was married and living a double life. I did that, you know, on two different occasions. I lost the right to see my twins. I was in and out of jail for different things, like, you know, typically had to do with alcohol. I'd go to jail for the night. Or do something stupid like getting arrested, seeking an escort when I was 23 years old. You know, I'd been in jail leading up to the sixth time in jail. And I would always try to make changes, but it was a head change. It was, in fact, I did a show on this last night, it was spiritual bypassing, where, you know, you can feed your head with all the stuff, but if you're not doing the work to clear out the crap, you're not healing the traumas that are locked inside you, all that stuff you listen to is not going to do anything except you help you talk a good game.
Right.
Talk doesn't mean anything. You got to take action. But I wasn't at that point. I didn't hurt bad enough, I guess, because I'm a stubborn son of a gun. But my sixth time in jail, I was put into isolation. I told them when I went to jail that I had HIV. And regardless of being undetectable and all that stuff, I told them that thinking I was going to get special privileges. and like, and they put me in the psych ward instead, in isolation, where I'm next to all these madmen. I can't see them, but I can hear them.
I'm sure.
And I'm freaking out, going, "Oh my god, I don't like noise. I've got sensory issues where like loud noises freak me out. Like I was losing my mind. Plus, I was coming off of cocaine and a bottle of tequila. And so here we are, the second day. I'm losing my crap, and I start begging for something to read. I need to keep my mind busy, and I'm locked in there with my thoughts, and I'm just going nuts. And I finally go, "They have to give me a Bible. They have to give me a Bible. I know. I think I saw this in a prison show. They have to give me a Bible." And sure enough, they had to give me a Bible. So if any of your listeners go to jail and you get bored, they have to give you a Bible.
You're kidding.
So I start reading it, and I'm going, and I grew up in church, but I had never read the Bible, and I'm like, I don't understand any of this stuff. This is insane. And I remember my friend John, who I used to party with, who ended up being a pastor, and I started calling. I was like, you know what? Okay, I'm going to read John. And then I read John, and I was like, well, this is a little bit more digestible. But then I went to Proverbs, and as I was reading through Proverbs, I'm like, okay, I'm doing that wrong, 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 and doing that wrong. Oh my God, what is going on? And so as I keep reading, and because there's nothing else to do, I get pissed off. And I'm like, God, what the bleep?
Right.
Wait, look, why won't you change me? Why won't you fix me like everybody else? Why can't you fix me? Why can't you heal me? You have to forgive your father. How in the hell am I supposed to do that? After what he did to my mom, what he did to my sister, what he did to me, what he did to my brother, how in the hell am I supposed to forgive him? Because it happened to him too. For the very first time in my life, I had compassion for my father. And I realized that I'd become my father, but worse. And then I was able to forgive my father. And I had a moment with God after that, and an experience that forever changed my life, that literally knocked me down on the floor and lifted me up at the same time. And so in the last 5 years, actually, I thought I was going to be in jail for 5 years. But I made a commitment at that point, my second night in jail. I made a commitment that my life was no longer my own, and I was going to do what God called me to do. The same thing that I knew that I was supposed to do. The very first vision I got was after being molested. The visions in my head that I'd had all my life, every time there was I should have quit, every time I should have given up, I would get this glance of what my life would be if I just turned my life around and started living purposefully. And
honestly, Joshua, you're such an inspiration. Thank you so much for opening up about this. Seriously.
I got to finish this part though. I'm sorry. But my life was no longer my own, and mm-hmm. I was going to serve and do what I was called to do. And no matter what that looked like, no matter how scary it was, no matter what, I was going to do it. But I made that promise thinking I was going to be in jail for 5 years. I ended up getting out 4 days later on the streets of downtown LA going, oh crap, now what?
Right. Cause you were expecting there to be there. Well, that's pretty amazing, honestly.
Yeah. But I figured it out, and little by little, taking a step every day to stretch my faith, I've been able to see God do some pretty amazing things in my life. And, you know, years later, I'm coming into some amazing things. I'm not going to say it's been easy, but I am definitely coming into an amazing time in my life that I've been extremely blessed to be a part of.
Wow. What a honestly, like, what an inspiring story. Like, thank you. Seriously, thank you so much for opening up about that, because I think you alone right there just proved that, like, it is never too late to start over. Never.
Never. Never too late.
Yeah. And I think, like, that is just amazing. Like, what an inspiring story you have. And it's so great. Like, I'm sure now that you've been through all of this to kind of look at it from the other side. Right. And be like, wow, like I lived through all of that and was able to pull myself out of it. Like, that's incredible. You should be very, very proud of that.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I totally mean that. Wow. I'm like, I'm literally like speechless. That was so inspiring. So I want to like, so this is obviously how your radio show idea started, I'm assuming. Once you started to realize like what you were thankful for, your gratitude stuff. Tell me all about when that launched and for our audience and tell us all about that.
Well, somebody heard me speak. I wasn't scheduled to speak on stage, but somebody bailed out. And they said, hey, we need a speaker. And I was like, I'll do it. And I didn't have anything prepared. I'd never spoken on stage before. I was like, I'll do it. And I got up in front of a room and I was like, crap, what do I say? And I thought about, well, the one thing that if I would say anything, it'd be thank you. Because there was a time in my life that I was when I ended up homeless. And I was going to just use the money I had to buy a bunch of drugs and basically party till my heart stopped. And I ended up getting a call about somebody who gave me an opportunity to work the Emmys. And that gave me hope. That helped me get a job. Anyway, fast forwarding that, my speech was about just saying thank you and the importance of helping other entrepreneurs, like looking to serve, looking to help people, crack open the window for them, offer them guidance, you know, do something that will inspire hope in them so they don't quit. Because you never know whose life you're going to save.
It's true.
And I had a woman save my life by giving me opportunity. So that opened the door to me speaking and when to get another gig in speaking, because a lot of people came up to me going, oh my God, will you speak on our stage? And so I said, yes. Well, I had somebody kind of coaching me and saying, hey, you should market yourself and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm not taking douchey pictures and posting them on Instagram with some catchy saying. They go, that's not me. It's like, I'm not scripted at all. That's not me. I'm not doing that. I speak from the heart always, no matter what. Even if I say something I regret, I speak from the heart. So I just started this daily live of just doing a daily gratitude. And I was doing that for about 3 months. And it was, you know, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Random people, I would have them pop on the show on Facebook. And it wasn't even a show. I was just doing a daily live.
Right.
Asking people what they were grateful for. Then I went and heard T.D. Jakes speak at the Rock Church, and he was promoting his book, Vision or Soar. It was a Soar. And I heard him talk about the blessing was in the breaking, which was huge for me. But he was saying, one of the things he said that stuck out was focus on the things that you do have and not what you don't. And at that time, I'd had a show fall through on Fox Business, and I'd had all these other TV shows that were offered to me that, you know, fell through, and I was so butthurt. I was like, God, you know, what is going on? Like, I had just been homeless. I'm on my feet. I'm like, I'm thinking everything's going right for me. And then just at the finish line, crash. Mm-hmm. I think nothing happened. But I was so distraught over it. But when I heard him say that, I go, you know what? I don't have any money right now. I don't have a producer. I don't have cameras. I'm a director. I don't have show graphics. I have nothing. But you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do this show on my phone. And I'm going to figure out how to do this. And I'm going to prove the concept of this show works. So there became Morning Gratitude with the Mayor, which turned into Joshua T. Berglund's Morning Gratitude. It was going really well. After a month, got picked up by iHeartRadio and Spotify and Stitcher. And like, it just kept growing. The audience kept growing. The downloads kept happening. And just kept getting picked up. And then about 9 months ago, I had a massive relapse on meth. And I say massive, it was a 4-day hellish binge that, because I had an incident that had happened that completely broke my heart. And for a moment, I just quit caring because I was so heartbroken and devastated. I allowed my dark passenger back in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole other conversation. That said, I allowed my passenger to take over and I used meth and wild out for 4 days. And I had totally forgotten. I had not had an incident with my passenger since I went to jail. I thought he was dead. I didn't know it was still there. And it came back roaring its ugly head and it wanted to kill me. It wanted me to die. And as I was getting ready to go into this place of no return, I remember seeing God out of the corner of my eye going, I got you. I got you. I'm going to let you go through all this and it's going to hurt, but I got you. And I didn't know what it meant, except for that it made me feel a little bit safer. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to say one of their name, two of their names now. Annie Lobear from Hookers for Jesus had reached out to me, sent me a message that only could have come from God, but I was ignoring it. The second day, I got a message from Lauren Harris, and he told me something that could have only come from God. And that helped me get to this place of going, okay, I surrender. I give up. And I started listening to where I was guided. And one of the things that was really weighed heavily on my heart is that I needed to talk about the uglier. I mean, I talked about some pretty crazy stuff, but I really needed to speak freely about HIV, about borderline personality disorder. I needed to speak about the dark side of sex. I needed to speak about the dark side of, you know, relationships and abuse. And like, I really needed to go to the depths of hell and bring light. And so I killed my show, Morning Gratitude, because I felt that it was giving off a wrong impression of what I was, who I be, and what I'm doing. So I created Gratitude Unfiltered to show people that we get to have gratitude for those shit moments in our life that we want to die, we want to kill ourselves, we want to give up, like the failures, the bankruptcies, the homelessness, the disease, the abuse, all of it. We get to be grateful for those moments because we have an opportunity once we decide to use everything that hurt us to bless other people. And ultimately, the thing that will bring us the most joy in life is using our gifts to bless other people.
You're doing such a great thing. You really are. I think the unfiltered concept is so important because it really goes to show that, like, life is just like you said, like, life is imperfect and, like, we all go through shit. And, like, let's just be vulnerable and open about it so that people know they're not alone. More people need to hear that they're not alone, you know?
Yeah.
So.
That's right. Because you're not alone.
Mm-hmm. And that's why.
Hold on. I want to say something really quick. Mm-hmm. You'll never find, like, people out there that talk about tribe and they talk about their friends. I want to make something very, very painfully clear to people. If you're not living in truth, those people are not your tribe. You will not know who your people are. You will not feel secure in your relationships, your friendships, your business partnerships, anything. You will never feel secure. You will never know what love is until you live in truth. And I know this. You will never experience the blessings that are destined for you until you live in truth. That is a fact, a fact. And if you're already balling out, having a great time, good for you. Guess what? If you're not living in truth, you're not experiencing everything that you could experience. That's just, it's a fact.
It is a fact. Thank you so much for sharing that, because there's actually, like, recent scenarios of people that are even in my circle that I know of things going on. And when they hear this, this will be very valuable to them. So thank you so much for sharing that. Seriously, it's funny how things come up in conversations when you're talking to somebody that certain people need to hear it, just like you said. So, wow, Joshua, you are such a freaking inspiration. I am so happy to have you on today. Like, what a great story you have. I also want to hear, on a side note of, like, the recent acting gigs you've been doing, I want to hear about your Emmy experience, like, because I know the last time we were supposed to originally record, you had an awesome gift lounge experience, right?
I was actually at the Golden Globes.
That's what it was. Awesome.
The film festival. I think I was at a film festival when the last time we had it. I've been very fortunate to be involved. When I had a skincare line before I moved out to before I moved to LA and then came to LA, I got access pretty quick to a lot of really cool events. And when I show up somewhere, I show up like I own the place. It's just it's a mindset. So I'm there going, okay, if I own this production, if I own this, this event, or I own this company, how would I want to show up? And where would my eyes be? And that's frankly on everything. So right. It's finding out where there's a need and jumping at it. Well, I saw this happen at one of the events I was working at, and I just jumped in. Like, I was a sponsor for the ESPYs, my skincare line. And so it was a little chaotic, some of the stuff going on, and I would just jump in and help. And because of that, I just earned a really good reputation in certain circles that I kept getting invited back. And then I was able to produce sponsors for events. And so I've gotten some producing credits from just being able to, you know, get a sponsor, get gift bags, get whatever that was needed to be able to help it out. And then once I was there, I was able to help make sure things went smoothly. It's just because I have an eye, again, seeing how things connect, seeing where there's a need and being able to find it. And it's just, it's a power of curiosity, it's vision, and also a determination just to make things look awesome. And so I've been very, very fortunate, like in all throughout my career, to be able to do different things like that. But coming to LA, it's a lot more fun because this is where you get to see how every single industry connects. And for someone like me, it's a dream come true.
Right. So okay. So for our audience who doesn't know you, tell us a little bit about like your backstory in terms of career path. So when did you launch a skincare line and what is it called and what inspired it? Give us a little background.
Okay. So I worked with Complex Disabilities for 18 years, negotiated contracts on behalf of the disabled population, you know, heads of Blue Cross around the country, like fighting to make sure that there was a, you know, people had rights to equipment. And that's a whole other wormhole to go down. But anyone that's ever had to buy a power wheelchair, or especially medical equipment, knows that not only do you have to deal with denials, you're dealing with you're dealing with a lot of different things. Like denials, you're dealing with just getting qualified. It's tough. So it's a fight. I love fighting for people, but I saw that the industry was changing. I saw the writing on the wall and started dressing up the company to be able to sell it to a larger company, which we did. Around that time, found out my father's melanoma came back, and I wasn't close to my father at all. But I will tell you that it was miserable watching him suffer. I mean, there was a part of me glad that he was suffering, but the other part of me was like, this really sucks.
Right. No one deserves that at the end of the day. Right.
It spiked my interest in skincare, and just understanding it. And one day I was at some aesthetic show in Las Vegas. And this lady and I had way too much to drink. This is back when I drank. And I look like death. And she came up to me. She goes, here, put this on. I go, what are you talking about, lady? She goes, you look like hell. Go put this on. I go, okay, fine. And I put this eye serum on, and I swear to you, within like minutes, the hurt went away, and I would look good. But that really didn't really mean a whole lot. It was the hair product I took home, and it grew my hair back. And I had this little bald spot, and it grew my hair back. My ugly gray hair became healthy, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this stuff is amazing. So I ended up buying out the other distributors of this line, and I bought them out, built a sales force, set up global distribution for this company, and then later they became publicly traded, which, you know, we, and part of that deal was we got a bunch of stock and yada, yada, yada. It was an amazing thing. So we were responsible for all the sales, all the relationships, doctors, the board members, all of it. And so I got into that. And it was great because I got a lot of access and had a lot of fun. It made LA and traveling just amazing. I love working with physicians. I love helping them, especially having a skincare line that is just baller and amazing. But I didn't really understand a lot about skin at that time. I just thought, wow, this thing works and I'm gonna sell it. And I'm not much of a sales guy, but I believed in it that much. Well, after they wanted to buy me out and that happened, but then didn't get paid. And I ended up losing everything. And it's a complicated story, but long story short, they were a group of attorneys and there was no way that I could go after them legally because I didn't have the money to fight. And
that's
so I
crazy.
Lost everything, and that's how I ended up homeless. Now that opportunity I learned, this is the opportunity after the Emmys event that I worked, when I ended up getting a job with another skincare line that actually also contract manufactured skincare lines. So they made skincare lines for doctors and celebrities. And then a lot of the other brands that were being sold in doctors' offices, they made those products. So that's when I really learned about the skincare and what the industry is all about. I didn't like it very much. I didn't like it very much at all. And I really, after, you know, eventually ended up quitting and just served as a consultant for that company. But I started working with multiple skincare lines because I wanted to be that guy that could tell the truth about products and help people facilitate, like, okay, what's your budget? Like, what are you looking for? What's your target demo? What are your needs? What are you trying to accomplish? And then going out and finding the product lines that match that. Well, doing that opened up the door for cosmetics. It opened the door for medical devices. It opened the door for cannabis. It opened the door for elite matchmaking. It opened the door for luxury travel. It opened up so many doors because, again, I wasn't selling anything. I was just helping people get what they needed. What is your need? Okay, I'm making this happen for you. Then I got into producing films and stuff like that. And mind you, I never got paid on any of the money that I raised, but that's I still learned the game. I have those Hollywood scars of failure and disappointment on me, all over me.
I think most people do, Joshua. I don't think you're alone there.
Oh, no. And I took it as an education.
Exactly.
It was the price of doing business, but now it has made me very, very dangerous in a good way because now I have a team of people and I have protection and also I have access to good attorneys now. So none of this stuff is never going to, this is not going to happen to me again.
Right. But it almost like, I don't mean to interrupt, but it set you up. It totally set you up from these experiences. Like, this is what I need to protect myself in all areas going forward, you know?
It made me realize that I can't do it alone.
Right.
Because you can't. Like, you can be the biggest badass in the world. You could be the greatest leader of all time. You could be Oprah, but guess what? Oprah's got a badass team.
Yeah.
Oprah doesn't happen without a team. And it took me a long time because Oprah is like, Oprah for me is everything. I mean, outside of my faith, I love Oprah. What she did when she walked away from that contract and she created her own network, like that to me was literally one of the most inspiring things in my life. And it actually, the vision and one of the things that I'm creating in the world is I'm following Oprah's blueprint.
Love it.
So anyway, but I fell into all these different industries. And so that's why the World's Mayor thing fits, because I literally can go into any situation and say, okay, what do you need? And what is your biggest need? And I'm pretty good at finding it. I mean, I have an amazing network of people. I've been able to help some very, very successful, high-profile people, you know, get different things. And it's so much fun just to be able to be that guy that gets people what they need.
Right.
Steve Sims is a huge inspiration also with his book, Blue Fishing, you know, because it's like the connector's Bible, basically. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun. It allows me to be able to go places and not have to worry about selling. The only complication I have is when people ask me what I do, I have no way of everything. I help people. Like, my career is helping people.
That's
my dream. I have my dreams. I have my vision and what I'm going to create in the world. But it all goes back to helping people.
You're a facilitator. You get things done.
Yeah. Any of that. Any of the connector, the plug, the glue. I've changed the name a lot, you know, elite matchmaker. Like, I take a lot of pride in what I do, and there's nothing that makes me happier than watching someone's dreams come true. And it's so much fun.
I love it. Can you talk about like a recent success story of some connection you've made?
So behind the scenes, I've been able to help people get on TV shows. I've been able to help people get access to the capital that they need that allowed them to create a product that is going to be going on Alibaba and QVC soon. I've been very, very fortunate that has opened other doors for me to allow me to walk through to make my personal, you know, like my personal goals come true. You know, and then the matchmaking thing, I've really enjoyed matchmaking because to see somebody, you know, just find that relationship, that ideal relationship they're looking for, and then just to see the happiness in their eyes and like that stuff for me is a lot of fun. I think the biggest one right now, because it literally just happened like a few days ago, is there was a product that's going out on Alibaba and QVC, and you know the person that's involved has literally been doing anything and everything possible to make this happen. They have a global patent on the product. It's $1 billion product. But a $1 billion product doesn't get made without the capital to get the product made.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to find the money, and it was good money, safe money, money that was not going to cripple her, or, you know, having to give up the, you know, having to give up any of the equity in the company, any of that stuff. Being able to find that legit money, finding the person that believed in the project to set up a very favorable deal, that was exciting for me because I know how much work went into creating that product. And it, for me, it, because it's going to, it's not just about the fact that she got the money. It's the fact that she's going to be able to help women all over the world feel and look glamorous, look like movie stars because of a really relatively simple invention, but it's going to be able to help other people look as glam as they want to look. And I, it's not a vain thing, but it's awesome. And the fact that it's affordable and it's going to be able to include anybody and everybody that wants something like this, which from the statistics, it shows it's a $1 billion product. It's going to make a lot of women happy. And to me, that's pretty exciting.
That is awesome. That's a big bravo. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
That's like Thank so you. Great. There are a lot of like that. Honestly, those are such great wins, right? I love that. Great, great story to share. So freaking cool. Okay, so I would love for you to tell our audience when Gratitude Unfiltered's on so they could tune in and how they can do that.
Well, the really exciting news is that there's about to be a massive change to it. It's, you know, it's you can Google Gratitude Unfiltered and find it. I mean, of course, it's on YouTube. It's on Facebook.com/Gratitude Unfiltered. I'd love to go live on Facebook because that's how the show started. And I enjoy interacting with the audience because the vision is to take the show global and to serve in the communities I travel for 2 weeks and then do a show in front of a live studio audience. And to be able to interact and share stories and then also have local heroes. I don't give a look, the celebrity side of things doesn't really get me excited. They have their purpose and what they can do, but I really want to show people that the real heroes are the people that are not getting the publicity, the people that are in the trenches fighting help these, you know, help people that are suffering, the people that are, you know, that are really struggling, the forgotten. Like, I want to share those people's stories and I want to do it all over the world. I mean, it's basically a ministry to me.
I love it.
Like walking into hell to help people. So it's on, you can, it's on iHeartRadio and Spotify and TuneIn and Stitcher and all of those channels, but it's about to start streaming on Amazon and Hulu and Roku and all of those streaming networks. It's also going to be streaming through an app, which I'm really excited about with PSTV. But I just found out that I'm getting an official studio to shoot the show in.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
So one, thank you. We're going to be shooting in San Diego, which ironically is where the show was born. And I'm really excited to be going back down there to film. But again, the goal is to do this globally in front of a live studio audience. But we took a massive step forward by getting a studio, which we'll have an audience in to do some filming. And that happens in a couple weeks.
That's freaking awesome, Joshua. Bravo to you, my friend. That is so, like, cool. You just really, like, to see where you've come and open up and share your story to where you are now, like, amazing, amazing stuff. So awesome.
Thank you.
So, yeah. Okay. I want to play Game Time. This is just a fun way for, not that your story isn't amazing, but I want people to get to know you more on a personal level. Okay.
Okay.
So what is Joshua's favorite food?
Oh my God. I love food. It's gotta be tacos. And I honestly, I can make tacos out of spaghetti. So I would say spaghetti. I would say tacos because tacos, you can do breakfast tacos, you can do lunch tacos, you can do tacos are so diversified. Just give me anything. Hell, I even think I put barbecue. No, I have put barbecue in a taco, like a soft taco.
That sounds pretty good, so, actually.
I'll make a taco out of anything. So yeah, tacos, I would have to say, would be the most accurate.
Oh my God, I love it. That's freaking awesome. Okay, where is your favorite place you've ever traveled?
Costa Rica by far.
Really?
And I haven't done a lot. I love Mexico City. I love Mexico. I love the people of Mexico. That's where I spent the brunt of my time. But I got to go to Costa Rica on my second honeymoon. And I had so much fun with the people. We backpacked. We saw like most of the country. The people are freaking awesome. It's adventurous. It's fun. You can jump off waterfalls. You can ride four wheelers. I don't party anymore, but the party was crazy. Like, I mean, all of it, the storms, like the rainy season was amazing. Like Costa Rica to me is just like adventure land. I love it. But I'm so looking forward to going to like London and Sydney, Australia, and I'm Moscow and Paris. I'm in Mexico, but I'm going back to Mexico City. I'm so excited about those trips because I've never been there. But right now, to answer your question, it's Costa Rica by far. Just give me the whole country.
Yeah. Oh my God. Cool. I've heard really good things about it, like lots. So that's on my bucket list to investigate. Thank you for sharing. So, cool. Okay. Next question. What is your TV guilty pleasure?
I really don't watch TV, but I love Ray Donovan.
I've heard so much. You know, I never got into that. Everybody talks. I never got into it. Everybody talked about him for the longest time.
It's a reminder. That and Dexter are a reminder of what happens when I start using my gifts for bad. I've done a lot of Dexter-like things in my day. Not except the killing part. I am the dark passenger that Dexter had. I didn't mean to say Dexter, Ray Donovan. I've done a lot of Ray Donovan things in my day. And then Dexter with the dark passenger, I fully understand.
Right.
And, except for that, I've never killed anyone. Thank God.
thank God. Yeah.
But honestly, it reminds me if I use my gifts for wrong, what can happen. But I love the show. I love the dynamic of it. But I really don't watch TV. I listen to the attention span for that. I really, really, really enjoy YouTube videos. And I really try to feed my mind with as much uplifting stuff. Because, again, it's real easy for me to slip back into the dark side because it's always there. You know, my passenger's always sitting there on my shoulder waiting. To come back in. It's always waiting for the invite. And I consciously, because of the assignment that is all my life, that is a bit religious for some people, but that's the fact. I've accepted the assignment. I've accepted my calling, and I'm doing it relentlessly because I love finding people that are like me, and I love whether it's whatever assistance that they need or whatever guidance or whatever however we support each other. There's other people that have the same calling on their life. And, you know, I also recognize that I have to build my spiritual armor, you know, throughout the day. It's not something I can just do in the morning. It's something I do throughout the day too. And that really, really is important to me to stay on track because I know what will happen if I get off track and I won't get another chance this time.
You're just like so inspiring. I'm so happy I had you on because clearly I didn't know this a lot about this either. So I'm like so honored that you came to share and been so vulnerable to share everything. That's so awesome. Okay, next question. If you could spend lunch, you know, or a full day with anybody in the world, who would it be and why?
My mom.
Oh, I love it. That is the cutest thing. I love it.
I mean, look, there's people that I would love to have dinner with and lunch, but if I could only choose one, it'd be my mom.
That's awesome. Okay, so what is your favorite thing to do with your mom? What activity?
She lives in Oklahoma where I'm from, and so honestly, just sitting Laguna Beach, like I'm going to buy my mom a beach house in Laguna Beach. And, like that is, my everything that she's done for me. And, oh my God, I love my mom.
I
swear to you, like, I wouldn't be alive without her. I would not be able to pursue, you know, she's been the one stable thing in my life. And, when everybody else has left and everybody, you know, like even, I mean, I pushed a lot of people away or had pushed a lot of people away. I'm proud to say at 39 years old that I actually have friends now for the first time in my life.
Good for you. That's, I mean, like, genuine that's friends, awesome.
But my mom is everything. So even if we were just hanging out, mm-hmm. like I don't even care if it was going to church together or hanging out, like having dinner. I love my stepdad too. So like he would be there and I would choose her and it wouldn't matter what it is. I mean, honestly, I would want her to, I want her to manage me at when it's time for me to pull that trigger. Yeah.
Momager, they call them, right? The momagers.
Yeah, exactly. I don't, because it's hard to trust people.
It is.
And look, and I'm not saying this arrogantly, but I know that like amazing things are happening for me. I mean, it's like the Super Bowl commercial is great, but I mean, it's not like I'm the main character in it, but I have a couple really cool parts in it. That's great.
You're in a Super Bowl commercial? Wait a minute. Tell us all about this really quickly. That's amazing.
I can't talk about it, but because it airs on the Super Bowl, and trust me, you don't want me to talk about it because it would ruin it. And even me describing it will not give you the joy of watching it. It's literally the most life-changing project ever. Like, and then getting to be in movies. Because I shaved my head, I got put in to play a part in a movie. And then because of the way I showed up, they gave me an opportunity to speak. And then I got an acting role and then I got to do a stunt. And now that film is playing at Sundance, or it's going to play at Sundance.
Amazing.
But that was before I was like actually pursuing acting. Like now I've been so blessed to have these things happen. And then my show taking off. Like, I know that I'm going places in it, and it's hard enough for me to trust people anyway, and that's just part of, like, disassociation and, you know, what people deal like with borderline personality disorder. Even though this is now a superpower for me, like, I have to be very, very careful about who I allow in my life and also be careful not to cut people out of my life that I'm not supposed to cut out.
Marie.
But my mom is, like, the one steady person that I could trust, and now I have a few other people that honestly, I can say I want them on my team, but my mom manager still sounds the most appealing to me.
I love it. I love it. Well, it's true because, you know, as you continue to grow, they always say your circles get smaller and it's almost better for, like, protective reasons, you know? So I totally understand that. That's freaking awesome. Freaking awesome. I absolutely love, love, love all your inspirations. Okay, final question. Who is Joshua's celebrity crush? If you could pick any woman or any, it could be a guy too, whatever preference. Who is your favorite? It could be one of each too.
Well, I mean, it would be a woman. I mean, I'm not going to say there's not attractive guys, but I mean,
totally.
Yeah, of course, it's stupid. But I mean, you know, I don't know. I've met and got to spend an evening with Eva Longoria.
Awesome.
She, to me, I love, look, they're so hard to do that, you know?
I know.
Mean, I just, because her heart is so, her, and I'm more drawn to someone's heart in their passion than I am anything. And so, you know, Eva is, her heart is so freaking cool and just amazing. And like her passion for giving is huge. I mean, if I'm forced to, I would pick her, but honestly, there's a couple people that, you know, that are probably not quote unquote famous that I would say that they would be a crush if I had to pick. But again, for me, it's more about someone's heart than it is their looks. I mean, I have a physical body type that I like, but as far as that attraction goes and just being drawn and like being googly eyed, I'm going to fall in love with someone's heart and what the kind of service that they give, or service, you know, if they're service oriented and have a passion for giving, I'm going to be more attracted to that than I am looks any day.
I love it. And to be honest, I could not agree with you more. I think that that is way more important than the initial, if somebody's attractive or not. Completely agree.
Right.
Awesome, awesome stuff. Well, really, really awesome podcast, Joshua. Thank you so much for coming on today. So tell everybody how they can, you know, follow you on social media, your website, and once again, how they can listen to your show.
Well, you can just Google Gratitude Unfiltered and find a variety of ways to see it. I mean, you'll find it on Medium and LinkedIn, on iHeartRadio, on Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. And But my website's thejoshuatberglund.com. That's thejoshuaberglan.com. And the reason why I did thejoshuatberglund.com is because somebody else owns my name.
Somebody owns your name?
Someone owns thejoshuatberglund.com. But on Instagram, you can look up Joshua T. Berglund. It's there. Facebook the same way. You can see the other pages. That's the easiest way to find me.
Amazing.
And Twitter too.
Awesome. So everybody definitely needs to get social with Joshua. Definitely check out his amazing show that he's blossoming with. And thank you again, Joshua, so much for coming on today. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you for having me. You have a wonderful rest of your week.
Thank you. You too. Thank you, everyone, so much for tuning in to Next on Scene. And stay tuned for Who's Next on Scene. Thanks so much for tuning in to Next on Scene with your host, Jackie Zuck. Showcasing tomorrow's scene today, for startups to celebrities, we are your source to find out what's next. Are you next? We want to hear from you. Get in touch with us today at nextonscene.com or get social with us at Next on Scene on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And are you next? We want to hear from you. Stay tuned for Who's Next on Scene.